Right, well, we've heard that story quite a bit recently, haven't we? I remember Christmas morning. Who was here on Christmas morning? Oh, not that many. Oh dear, you missed a treat, because on that morning, Andrew was demonstrating his Catholic credentials by burning incense. Those who don't realise, he had a biscuit tin and he had some charcoal and he had some incense and a blowtorch. Anyway, it's all about gifts, that was, of course, about the significance of the gifts. I'd like us to look at some other aspects of this story this morning. And first of all, I think we need to realise that the way we read the birth stories over Christmas can perhaps blind us to the fact that there are, in fact, three distinct sets of stories in Matthew, Luke, and John's Gospels. And they're different. They're complementary, of course, but they reflect the different interests and purposes of the writers. And when we come to Matthew, that we read just now, apart from Joseph's dream, where the angel encouraged him to marry Mary, the only other bit of the story that Matthew puts in is this story we've just heard, the story of the Magi. Now, he does this, of course, for a reason. And Matthew, remember, is a Jew. And he's writing a very Jewish gospel for a very Jewish readership. And if you just think back, in chapter 1, he's had a great list of Jesus' ancestry, in which he's emphasised Jesus' descent from David. And then at the beginning of this story, he emphasises that Jesus was born in David's hometown, in Bethlehem. Jewish. Messianic. But now this story is primarily about foreigners, about Gentiles who recognise and worship Jesus. And these Magi were people whose religious beliefs and practices were miles away from Jewish ones. And of course then there's the irony that the Jewish king, Herod, who's perhaps only marginally Jewish really, but anyway, the Jewish king is filled with jealousy and wants to murder Jesus. You see, Matthew is anxious for his Jewish readers to recognise their destiny as ambassadors to the wider world. They're not just there to conserve a static truth and for their own nationalistic ends. Yes, Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one that people looked for, the Jews looked for, the fulfillment of their hopes. But not to fulfill just what people narrowly thought about the Messiah. And Matthew stands more in the tradition of Isaiah, who saw the servant of God and of Israel herself as a covenant to the people, a light to the Gentiles. Just one quote from that latter part of Isaiah. And the idea that Isaiah had, the vision he had, was that Israel would reflect the glory of God to other people who would then be drawn to worship him. Now, sadly, Israel failed in that. But here is Jesus. Here is God's servant, the real servant. And here are these astrologers coming from the east, Gentiles coming to worship. We don't know where they came from. Just about every country along the Silk Road to China has claimed them somewhere. We don't know, but that's not the point. They came, and they came to worship, and they came to bring those gifts as symbols of their worship. Because they are drawn to Jesus, who truly reflects God's glory. Now, exactly what they understood, of course, we don't know. They were, after all, astrologers coming from a completely different religious system, but drawn to this king that they believed. I wonder what they made of a king born to peasant parents. Who was he? I doubt they returned home with a fully developed Christology or great ideas of salvation. But God blessed their coming. He affirmed it. He affirmed what they saw, blessed them, and they returned. They were drawn to the light of God in Jesus. And that's the beginning of the gospel. At the end of the gospel, of course, Matthew turns it on his head at the Great Commission, the Ascension, when Jesus says, no, you're not just reflect God's glory and hope people come and see you. You are to go out. You are to take the good news out. You are to make disciples of all nations. There's an outgoing job to be done. This is good news, not just for the Jewish people, but good news for all nations. Now, of course, we're 2,000 years on from that. And the incredible thing now is that there are disciples in all nations. All around the world, there are people who acknowledge Jesus and serve him. Now, of course, there's huge variations in that. If you think of different countries, North Korea, just a tiny handful. But perhaps in countries in Africa, South America, there are great majorities of people who worship Jesus. And there's great difference of experience too. I suppose in the States, Christians have quite some influence. Whereas if you're in Iran, you're persecuted. And there are differences of understanding too, a whole range of spiritualities, Catholic, charismatic, evangelical, a whole range of ways, orthodox, ways in which people understand and worship Jesus and through whom God is at work. So now it's not just a matter of good news for all nations, but there is good news to come from all nations. And that's what I'd like to look at in this second part of the sermon this morning. What is the good news of God? What is God doing that can be shared? Remember last week I threw out a challenge to you to say what you had experienced or what people you knew had experienced of God at work. So here one or two from around the world, first of all, of what God is doing. Let's remember this lady who was with us this time last year. Yeah, Ray Pinniger. And her latest letter, I don't know if you read them, I hope you do, it's going up on the board in a minute. She, remember, was organising something called the Blue Sheep Craft Commercial Company, which was to enable about 500 disabled and otherwise impoverished people in Western China to produce and market goods. They got registered. God at work in China in a very simple way, like. But in fact, it's quite a big mountain, that one, to be registered in China to enable people to earn a living. I wonder where that was. Only one of us has actually been there. Remember, Lindy was there last year. When is it? August you were there. August, September. This is All Saints in Peshawar. And you remember that soon after Lindy went there, there was that terrible massacre outside the church. You think that would be enough to put anyone off, wouldn't you, going to church? But Lindy's contacts report how the people of that church still have a passion to tell other people about Jesus. They are still there every Sunday worshipping, and they're out telling people about Jesus. God is at work, good news. This is from Burkina Faso, a friend of Roger Parham's. Sorry, I didn't write the name down. These are a group of children in Burkina Faso in Africa who responded on one evening to a showing of the Jesus film. This friend has been out showing the Jesus film around the desert villages. And these are, half a dozen youngsters who responded on one evening to that film. Good news. Remember these folks? We spoke to them, although we didn't actually see them. I think it was last March. This is Daniel and Ellen Kirk and their family. And in response to a request to them for what God had been doing, what they would be thankful for, their first thing was, we received our Christmas presents before Christmas. Instead of about February. On a more serious note, they wanted to give thanks just for one couple who'd become Christians recently and now become involved in the work of their cafe church, if you remember, that they lead in Valparaiso. Some broader ones now. This I found on a Christian website. I don't know which website it was now, but when we think of all going on in Syria at the moment, and this website said, today in Syria, I'm not talking about one person, we're talking about hundreds, even thousands of Muslims coming to know Christ amongst all that's happening in Syria. And a bit nearer home, this is a church in Haverford West in Wales, which recently baptised 32 members of a local travelling community. Different kind of ministry. God at work in different ways around the world. And Ted's got an additional one he wants to add in, please.
Last Sunday I was with my daughter and her family in London, and my daughter and I went to a church in South London where Canon Andrew White, the vicar of Baghdad, was preaching. Now this was last Sunday, 28th December, 3 days before, you may recall, although it wasn't correctly reported in the British media, after the Christmas service, a bomb went off outside his church. Something between 40 and 100 people, he hadn't heard a precise number, had been killed. His church comprises about 4,000 members in Baghdad. They have a daily feeding program for well over 1,000, and they run their own clinic. And they serve a great many people who have very little indeed. So he said, Jesus means so much more to you when you have very little else. He told various stories, but one of them I particularly remember. A Muslim man came to him and asked him to pray for his daughter, who was seriously ill in hospital. For some reason, I don't recall, Andrew White wasn't able to go with the man to hospital. So he said to him, you go back to the hospital, and on the way be saying, Jesus, Jesus, only in Aramaic. I can't do it in Aramaic, which is the language they talk there, the same language that Jesus spoke in. And so the man went back to the hospital saying, Jesus, as he went. When he got to the hospital, he was met by a doctor who said that his daughter had died. So he said, well, can I go and see her body, please? And he was shown up to the ward where she was lying dead. And he leant over her and said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And she sat up in the bed. She said, Daddy, could I have something to eat, please? Rather like a similar story in the Gospels.
So God is at work all around the world. I think we need to recognize that he's not just at work in the big things. He's not just in the miraculous or the mass conversions or whatever. But he is present in the everyday and the mundane as well. He is present in the feeding program of All Saints Beirut as much as in other aspects of their life. And I think we sometimes, as English British Christians, sometimes are not very upfront about this, about recognizing where God is at work in our lives. We talk about coincidences. We talk about things happening. And we're quite reticent, actually, to speak of God in these things. And really, of course, at the end of every day, we should be able to look back and recognize what God has been doing in the mundane and everyday of our lives. And we, I think, need to incorporate more of that into our casual conversation. But somehow, I don't know why we don't do that. Why don't we speak of God at work in our lives, even if we recognize it? And I'm feeling there's something in us which seems to think there's something of pride or something. If God's something for us, that makes us, because we're special. And of course, it's not that at all. God has been doing something not because we're specially good, but because he does it for everyone. And we need to recognize it. So I wonder if we could just look at a bit more locally then for a few minutes. And let's first of all say, well, what has God been doing in Swanage this year? Right, this is where you've got to say some stuff, not just rely on us. Anyone like to suggest something that God's been doing in Swanage in 2013? The challenge, yes. Just call it out from where you are.
Right.
Okay, sorry, you might not have heard that, but this was about the shrinkage of cancer from a really big one to a really small one when it was operated on, and how God was obviously at work in that and also in other aspects of personal life. Anything else? Can we think about just the community for a minute? So I didn't make quite clear what I was asking for at that moment, I think. Can we just think about the community just for a minute, and we'll come down to some more personal things a bit later on. What's God doing in the community?
The food bank has really taken off.
Oh, look, she thinks the same way as I do. The food bank, all right, has regenerated. Anything else? Thank you, Neil. So impact thing, really important. There's a man coming with a microphone.
It's not really a Christian enterprise, but I think wherever there's truth, we have to claim it as God's work. And Rotary work throughout the community all year round, but none more so than on Christmas Day. It's now part of our Christmas Day, and we went to the Rotary Christmas breakfast for elderly people who live in the town who spend Christmas Day on their own. And it's so heartwarming to hear someone say, thank you for the company today and for the gifts I got and the singing. They say, now I can go home, I'm happy to watch the Christmas telly and eat my chocolate and have beans on toast because I know that I've had a really good breakfast and I've had some community. So
thank you very much. Thank you, Brian. You're doing a grand job.
My job as a Rotarian on the day was actually to host, to say, welcome, come on in, let me take your coat, come and sit down. And I was definitely said, that's your job. And they had very long tables, and a lady who I'd never met before was on her own. The other end of the table was very well populated, and everyone was chatting, but there was a lady on her own. And I was really prompted, God prompted, to go and sit next to her, and I actually abandoned my job. But when I sat down next to her, we chatted for a few minutes, and she looked at me straight in my eyes, and she said, you're a Christian, aren't you? And I said, yes, are you? And she went, yes. And she hugged me, and we hugged for a long time, and I felt that morning that God really blessed me to sit next to the most beautiful woman, and we had a very special time. So, yeah, he does really prompt, but you need to listen.
Right, it's very important to recognise, isn't it? We think sometimes God's at work just in the supposedly Christian stuff. But God is at work in the community. And some of the people, part of it, were Christians. But he's also at work in the community, even when Christians are not directly involved as well, of course. One more, anyone like just to show that community? If not, I'll put on just the two things that came to me. I think that was a really brilliant thing, to give thanks for the fact that, for the first time, I think for ages, we were able to have carols at the market, in Christmas market. That's what that is, in case you hadn't realised, with people with funny hats on. Yes, so that was really important. And again, nothing to do, really. Anyone recognise where that bottom picture is, even? No, you see. Oh, dear, does no one do any recycling around here? No, as you go down to the tip nowadays, on the right, there are some new buildings. That's an artist's impression, it has to be said. It doesn't quite look like that this minute. But there are some new buildings, some new industrial units going up, which I think is really, really important for this community. And I want to thank God for them, because they offer employment, potentially, to people in this town. So all sorts of ways, I mean, hopefully you could think of other ways as well. These were just things that came to me, and we've had the other contributions. God at work in our community. God also, of course, at work in our church. What are the special things about this church last year that God was at work in, do you think? Breakfast at 9. Oh, funny how we tend to think about that, don't we? Very importantly, very, very significant, very important, yes. As an initiative, a new initiative. Anything else?
Tea at 4.
Yes, I haven't put that one on. Thank you, yes. This is Ted's initiative, of course. Andrew's initiative. Andrea. Sorry, Andrea, yes. Right, Matt Hurley coming as youth minister.
Juice and Refresh.
Juice and Refresh. They've grown, both have grown quite significantly. Great, isn't it, really? God is at work. What do I put down? Oh, yes. Apparently there were 300 people. I didn't get there myself, I have to say, but there were 300. And the thing, important thing was that so many of them were not church people. They came from, a lot of them came from the school. Is that right, Carrie? Where's Carrie gone? You said some of your parents were commenting, yeah? That they are people who come just from Swanage Primary School, which is not in the church school even, and had gone and been blessed by that. So it was really, really important. And I think even this one, which is the money. I remember that big challenge we were set last year about, I've forgotten the hike, but a huge hike in money. And we thought, oh gosh, is that possible? And God's provided that. So lots of ways in which God has been at work. And then he's been at work in our own individual lives as well. And thank you very much for sharing that. Any others? You may not actually want to feel you can actually shout them out too much. But what I would like you to do, perhaps... Oh, yes, come on, Alice, yes. What's happened to that mic? He's given up. Oh, dear. Sorry, Brian, I thought you were still hovering.
In Wales, because that's where I'm at university, I received quite a large sum of money just into my account randomly, which was really good. I mean, I've been praying about finance and stuff, so that was really helpful. That was completely out of the blue. I also was really homesick at the time, and I got a random text from my brother, said he was coming to visit that weekend. And also, the more time I spent in Bible study and in prayer, my boyfriend visited me more, which was really nice, because he never came up the first term.
Right, so guys, how to get a boyfriend.
It's helpful.
Thank you very much, Alice. But that's really important, isn't it? These are as if were everyday things, coincidences. Ooh, let's see where God is at work, okay? Where God is at work in these things. We'd like you to just be brave and tell your neighbour, person sitting next to you, about something. Just one thing, quickly. Oh, it's Nick. Sorry, I've forgotten about Nick.
Do you want my story?
Of course, sorry.
It's from the one I told you yesterday. The last couple of years I've been involved with a group of people who've got mental illness of some sort, and including myself, and we call ourselves Swanage Depression Support. And I'm thinking about one particular evening when I was supposed to be leading. I was feeling very tired anyway, and no one was supporting anyone. Everyone seemed to be in a miserable, miserable state. And the evening started on a low and ended up a great deal lower. And I walked home thinking, what was the point of that? What was the point of me? And what was the point of that? And no one who's been at that meeting will ever come again, because they must have felt a lot more miserable at the end of the evening than they did at the beginning. And about 3 or 4 days later, completely separate from that group, I went to a sort of seminar on listening. And this lady during the seminar said, listening is an act of love. And that dropped right into the middle of me. And I just thought, that's what I was doing. I was just listening, soaking up someone else's pain, I suppose, in some way. And the end of the story is that they did all come back.
Thank you. So God is very much at work. Let's move on then to think. Did you recognize that? You know, where was God at work in my life yesterday? And what about last year? What about yesterday? And am I prepared to actually say something about that to other people? We've got a year, 2014, coming up, okay? The gospel is the same. God is still at work around the place. God is still at work in our lives. That's your life and in my life, in the mundane, the everyday. Let's recognize him, and let's get those little things into our conversation. Instead of saying just something happened, let's get the word God in. Let's get Jesus in. Jesus led me to do so and so. God provided this. Isn't it wonderful that this text arrived, because God provided at the right moment? It doesn't have to be a big deal in the conversation. It's just the natural thing to be saying. Let's ask that God will change us to see and then to respond. I find this prayer really, really helpful. I use it time and time again because it helps me to focus on Jesus and on God and seeing him. Lord, help me to watch you work today. through others, through myself, through your creation, through the circumstances of the present moment. Help me to stand and listen and watch and worship and give thanks and tell others. Amen.
And as a very small postscript to that, Andrew White's motto he suggested for Christians this coming year: don't take care, take risks.